Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life. On our last program, we left off in James chapter 1, around verse number 8. We were talking about how in life we fall into these trials. Things come up that we do not expect. Our faith is challenged. And James says that these trials can have a positive effect. They can help our faith to grow stronger. They can develop patience. And he tells us that as we endure these trials, ask for wisdom. And if you ask for wisdom with a full assurance of faith in your heart, God is going to grant your request. And he warns us, don't doubt. Don't be the one who is double-minded. The one who doubts is like someone in a boat on the sea that's just driven back and forth, back and forth. There's instability there when doubt is mixed with faith. James says, erase all doubts from your mind. Ask God for wisdom. God, make me wise. Help me to see the right way. Help me to make the right choice. And if one asks for wisdom with the full confidence, the full assurance that God is going to grant his request, James says you can count on God answering. You can count on it. Take it to the bank. It is a sure thing. One of the things we're going to notice in the book of James is that James moves swiftly from topic to topic. You've already noticed that he went from enduring trials to asking for wisdom. Now he's going to shift to a completely different topic in verse number 9. He says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat, then it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Several times in this book, James is going to turn his attention to those who are rich in the material things of this world. In this particular case, he urges the rich among us to humble themselves. To humble themselves in the sight of the Lord and recognize that this material wealth that they have accumulated does not last forever. As he says in verse number 11, that wealth is just like the flower of the field. Right now, we're in the wintertime here in northern Missouri, and there's not a lot of green around us, not a lot of flowers out there in the field. The flowers have faded away, but come spring, in April and May, when things begin to green up and things begin to bloom, we're going to see a whole different sight. And yet we all know that if God grants us time, once we reach this point a year hence, once we're back in that time of year where things are cold and dormant, we're not going to see those flowering plants any longer. They will have passed away. This is one of many occasions where James is going to remind us that life is fleeting, that life passes away quickly. And he says at this time to the rich, you've accumulated all these wonderful and beautiful things, but you need to look out at your field and recognize that just as the flower of the field perishes, so too your wealth and the things of this world will perish. You should not take pride in these things. You should not be exalted by these things. Instead, look to the lowly brother. Look to the one who has very little and learn from him. Because the lowly brother is humble, not just necessarily by his attitude, but by his circumstances. So the rich need to act as if they are the lowly, the poor, recognizing that the wealth of this world passes and passes quickly. In verse number 12, James turns his attention to temptation. He says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Temptation simply means to be presented with a choice. There is something that appeals to you, something that you would like to do, and there is a side of you that greatly desires to do this thing. That's temptation. James says, when you endure temptation, or in other words, when you have been tempted and have resisted, there is a reward that awaits you. He will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Temptations come in all shapes and sizes, and what tempts you does not necessarily tempt me. But the message is the same for all of us. If we resist temptation and do so successfully, over a prolonged period of time, in this case, over the rest of our lives, if you will, there is a reward that awaits us. In verse number 13, James begins to analyze the process of temptation a little bit more closely. So he's talked about the need to resist, and if one resists, there's a reward that awaits. In verse number 13, he says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." Now, this is a message that is fairly consistent all throughout the Bible. And it's something that I think some people struggle with. Obviously, God is sovereign. His power is absolute. Nothing happens within the created realm that happens apart from his sovereignty. And yet, there is a difference between God allowing things to happen and God promoting things. We see those distinctions drawn very clearly. I mentioned last week the story of Job. One of the things that we learn in the first couple of chapters of Job, that all those terrible things that befell Job, from the losing of his family, to the losing of his wealth, to the losing of his health, all those things came upon Job as a result of Satan's operations. But what we also learn in those first two chapters is Satan cannot do anything without the permission of God. God allowed Satan to tempt Job in these ways. Satan was allowed by God to put Job through these terrible trials. So all things happen underneath the umbrella of God's sovereignty. And yet, God does not personally do these things to people. While he may allow things to happen, he certainly does not promote it. It does not happen according to his will. It doesn't come from his own mind, but rather he allows free choice, even on the part of Satan. Satan was given the choice of whether or not to tempt Job. He chose to do so, and God allowed him to exercise his free will, and he allows us to exercise our free will as well. So we can't look at God and say, "Why are you tempting me, God?" Well, we can't look at God in this way because although God may allow temptation, he certainly does not promote it. He does permit it, but he does not promote it. In verse number 14, James goes a little bit further to tell us why God cannot be accused of exposing us to temptation. He says in verse 14, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Temptation is only effective if there is some desire within us. I want to do thus and so. That's where temptation lies. It lies within our own desires. I have something that I want to do, that something lies contrary to the will of God, and because that desire exists, I am tempted. So James gives us how sin comes about. He says we have these desires that are tempted, and when we allow that desire to conceive, sin is born. And when sin is born, death comes on as a result. So no one can look at God and say, God, you're responsible for doing this to me. Well, no. God has given you the free will to choose your course. You've got these desires. You've got a choice to make. And whether or not you follow after the will of God lies in your hands. Are you going to follow your desires, or are you going to follow the will of God? James goes on in verse number 16 and says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So this is in contrast to what he has said before. God cannot be tempted by evil. God is not the source of evil. That temptation comes through our own desires. In contrast, God is the source of all good things. He is the Father of lights. There is no variation or shadow of turning. Or what James really means by that is God is consistent. Day in, day out, God is who he is. And that cannot be changed. He is unalterable, which is different than us. We can be altered. We can be changed. We can grow. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So here is God. He's the giver of all good things. And James says, don't be deceived. In other words, don't let someone convince you that it's God's fault that you're acting this way. God gives all good things. How can you accuse God of forcing you to make this choice? And this has become fashionable thinking in many circles today, that God just created me this way, therefore I must act contrary to the will he has revealed in his word. I think we need to step back and reevaluate our thinking in such circumstances. Yes, God has created you, but what has created those desires within you? That's the question that must be answered. Has God created those desires, or have those desires been created in some other way? James says that desires are at fault for temptation and ultimately sin, and not God. And so, James says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. In verse number 18, James says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Anyone who's a Christian listening to the program this morning has been born again. And James tells us how we are born again. It's through the word of truth. The word of truth reveals to us God's will for our life. It shows us the path to salvation. And it's the word of truth that, when conceived in our heart, brings forth this new creation. And this is a terribly important realization. If you're a Christian listening to this program this morning, you are a new creation. You do not have to act on those desires that once controlled you. You can choose another path, and indeed, God has chosen you, empowered you, so that you do not have to live according to those desires any longer. As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that faith in Jesus Christ saves our souls. God has always valued faith above all other things. From Noah to Abraham to Rahab to David, we see examples of God favoring people who believe in him. This is why God chose to save those who believe in his Son Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. If you believe in Jesus Christ but you're not sure what to do next, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.